Morning, church. I'm Pastor Sean, and it's good to be with you again this morning, and especially welcome those who may be visiting. Always fun to see new faces and to get to know new people and new stories and new lives. God is good. Amen. We had the last couple of Saturdays, many of you were a part of this, but we've had what we've called the Blessed Seminar happening on Saturday evenings the last couple of weeks, and just an opportunity for us to talk about, you know, God's invitation for us to join him in building and strengthening his kingdom. And it was good the last couple of weeks just to kind of remind ourselves of the perspective that, you know, we're given blessing so that we can pass that blessing on, right? That the people of God are not just about receiving God's blessing, but we're about being conduits of God's blessing. And from the very beginning, right, God, with his call to Abraham, right, that they would be a blessing to the whole world. He blessed the whole world through his people. And so in the Blessed Seminar, that's what we talked some about that first week, was this idea that we needed to be prepared and have this expectation and this perspective that we are meant to pass on the blessings that we receive from God. And then last night, we talked about culture. And, you know, our culture has gone through a radical change over the last 50 years, especially coming into fullness in the last 20 years. And it's a different world than what we grew up in for most of us. Some of us are growing up in this world already, and so that's awesome. And so maybe you can connect with it and relate to it better. But others of us, it's a challenge. And so we talked about those realities. This Blessed Seminar is going to be, we did record it. And so we will, in What's Brewing that's coming out this next Friday, we'll include a link to both of those seminars, so that if you would like to take a look at that, or those that were there, if you want to go back and remind yourself of some of the information we went through, you can do that. But just encourage us as a church that I'm sensing as your pastor, God continuing to draw us and invite us into being a community of people that has got their focus and their heart on the lost and on those who have yet to come into the kingdom. And that's a big part of what Jesus is doing, and it's a privilege for us to join him in it. And so that we would be open, ready, and creative in the way that we join him in all that he's doing as he expands his kingdom around the globe. The 40 days of prayer has also been meaningful, I hope, to many of you as well. I've talked to a couple of you who have really enjoyed doing the daily devotions that have been coming out that the Alliance has put out. So it's been encouraging to me as well. I've enjoyed those devotions. And again, I just love the idea of us all reading the same devotions each day throughout this time. And so hopefully you've been doing that. If you haven't, you got another week or so to be able to join us in that. I encourage you to do so. But also just considering the themes, you know, the attributes of God, these characteristics of who God is, have, I think, been important, you know, that we would remind ourselves of who God is, right? It's important for us to remember who God is, because who we understand God to be, you know, has a huge impact on how we live, right? Who we worship determines oftentimes who we seek to become like. And so to have an accurate view of God is important, and so to know these different attributes. The first 4 weeks have really, in large part, been, you know, these attributes that are just so huge and so amazing and so awesome, but can be viewed, although they're meant often to be viewed in relationship, they can be viewed separate from a relationship, that we can look at God as being holy and see and feel the distance between his holiness and ours. We can consider his unchangeableness, right, and his power, right, and his and these aspects of God that seem to, like, you know, oh wow, we're not all powerful, he is, right? And so we can feel this or sense this distance between him and us. But this week and next week, the final two attributes that we'll be looking at is the love of God and then his grace and mercy. And both of these final 2 weeks is really about something that we can personally encounter and experience. And I hope everybody in this room has experienced God's love in some way. I remember in my life, you know, coming to this realization that I feel like that one of the most important things God wants to communicate to us is that he loves us. And that came through with my own experience of getting away for a weekend to just ask God all of the crazy questions that were going on in my life. Like, God, you need to help me. I need the answers to all of these things as a pivotal moment in my life, trying to figure out, you know, directions and these kind of things. And spent the whole weekend just asking God to say something, to give me a revelation, to give me understanding, and he gave me nothing. Until the very, within the last few hours that I was had set aside for this retreat, he finally comes through and he doesn't answer any one of my questions, but he just says to me, "I love you." It was powerful and beautiful because in the moment I realized that God wasn't being silent, that he could have come in and probably given me the answers that I was looking for each of those different things. But he understood what I needed to know more than anything else was that he loved me. It is understanding the love of God that transforms our life. It is experiencing that love that changes everything. I feel like in my life, as I have come to understand and experience his love and more, that I am finding more and more confidence to take on each day. In a position as pastor that is filled with lots of pitfalls and minefields, lots of opportunities to screw it up, to make mistakes, lots of opportunities to say things that I shouldn't have said, to do things I shouldn't have done, and to do so in front of so many people that the effects kind of just continue on. It can be easy in this position to find yourself constantly worried and anxious about messing it up, constantly fretting over those who come, and even more so those who leave. But as I have come to see and know God's love, as I am drawn into that greater intimacy with him, I'm finding my concern more and more just with him, come what may. That doesn't mean that I'm not just as capable of making mistakes and failing, but to know that even if I make mistakes, even if I fail, even if I hurt people, even if I destroy my reputation, God will still love me. And for all eternity, I will get to enjoy to the fullness of that love. It changes who I am. It changes how I lead. It changes what I do. It changes how I worship. It changes how I preach and how I speak. And this morning, as I preach a message on the love of God, I find myself drawn again to Paul's words in Ephesians 3, but not just drawn to his words, but drawn to his heart. Because as I have come to understand the power of God's love in my life, I realize how vital it is for every one of you to know and understand the love of God. And for this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints What is the breadth and length and height and depth? And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. This morning in your outline, it looks a little different than it normally does. I have so many passages of scripture that I'm going to be reading and referring to today that I just wanted to make sure that they all were written down. We are going to go through each and every one of these verses, and we're going to read them. And because I think every one of them says something to us about God's love. As I was preparing this message again, I was just struck with how awesome God's love is for us. Two main perspectives. The first is that we have a God who has a loving character. That loving character is revealed universally. God loves every single person. No matter what they've done, no matter where they've been, no matter whether we love them or not, God loves every one of us. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. The character of God's love is also unconditional. Again, it doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter if we fail. Doesn't matter if we mess it up. Doesn't matter if we hurt other people. Doesn't matter if we reject him. Doesn't matter if we rebel against him. It doesn't matter if we obey him. His love for us is unconditional. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 8a. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. The character of God's love is also intentional. He is, in essence, not forced to love us. He freely chooses to love us. Ephesians 1:4. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. He's chose us before the beginning, before the first day of creation. He had chosen us. He'd chosen to love us, chose us for holiness and blamelessness. He chose us to be loved by him, to receive our love. And the character of God's love is also unselfish. He doesn't love for his own benefit, for what he can get out of it. He loves us for our benefit. Going on in Ephesians in chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. He blesses us and loves us in order to bless us. And the characteristics of God's love is also holistic. He loves all of who we are, all who we were created to be. Certainly there's the sinful aspects of us that he doesn't love, but he loves us for who we are. And he loves us to draw us into who we were created to be. Psalm 139, verses 15 and 16. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made, being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. He loves us holistically, all of us. He loves our whole life. He intentionally and purposely made that life, gave us every breath. And he loves us unyieldingly. There is nothing that can cause him or convince him to stop loving us. Love the passage, Romans 8, 35 and 37 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. How good is his love, his unyielding love for us. And his love is faithful. He always loves us the same amount. There's no dips in his love. You know, sometimes we can experience that in our relationships with our loved ones. I love you, but I don't like you right now. You know, this kind of dip maybe in this affection for one another, but God doesn't have that. There's never a moment when his love for us dips down and he begins to doubt. Psalm 136 is an amazing psalm. I encourage you to read the whole thing because it repeats this steadfast love of the Lord endures forever, right? Over and over and over again through all of these things that are happening. He says it again and again, but the first verse, give thanks to the Lord for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Hallelujah. And the character of God's love is also unending. Love of God never ceases. Lamentations 3:22. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. This is the character of the loving character of God. This is just who he is. And this is the type of love that he has for us and so much more. Amazing that he has this kind of love. Amazing that he is so consistent in his love, that he universally loves everyone on the earth, that he is loving in an unconditional way, that he intentionally chooses to love us, that he loves us for our sake, not his sake, that he loves us all of who we are, and that he loves us unyieldingly, faithfully, and unending love for us. Amazing and awesome and true. Have you experienced it? Do you know God's love? This next section is the way that God expresses his love to us. May we hear each and every one of these points. And may we seek to understand or to see or to remember a time in our life where we experienced this aspect of his love. I've set it up with a number of different statements and then again a verse to go along with it. First of all, love is creating us. Out of love and for love. God's love is expressed by him creating us out of love and for love. Psalm 139 again, verses 13 and 14. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I was fearfully and wonderfully made. My soul knows it very well. God expresses his love to us by creating us for a loving relationship with him. He invites us in to receive his love, to be loved by him, but also to respond to him with our own love for him. Love is also expressed in God desiring what is good and best for us. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. God has plans for us that are good and for our best. We have to embrace and understand this reality. That even when life is difficult, even when he allows the hard things and the trials, that he has good plans for us, that he loves us, and that his plans are meant to bless us. He's not just seeking to bless the generic, you know, most people. He's seeking to bless each of us individually. And God, love is expressed by not just having good plans, but doing what is good and best for us. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but Jesus declares, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. He doesn't just want to bless us, he does bless us. He doesn't want good things for us. He is actively working to bring about this abundant life that he has created and designed us for. He is always working on our behalf, again, both individually and corporately. And God's love for us is expressed by him giving us freedom to choose to accept or reject his love. This is an expression of God's love, free will. Again, we have this understanding of free that love cannot be expressed unless it is free. God has to be free to love us, and we have to be free to receive that love and to love him in return. Otherwise, it is not love. So God loves us by giving us freedom to choose to accept or reject his love. Galatians 5:13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. We have freedom. We have the freedom to choose whether we're going to accept God's love, reject God's love. What are we going to do with it? How are we going to respond to his love? We get to choose. True love is freely given and freely received. God expresses his love by telling us the truth about the results of our free will choices. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is not threatening us with hell. He is warning us about the realities of our choices, the consequences for our free will choices. He wants us to know that, yes, we have the freedom to choose, but the choices have consequences. They're not pretend choices. They're real choices that have real impact on the lives of those around us and on our very own futures. God expresses his love by rewarding our freely chosen good choices. Romans 8:16-17. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. This is the great reward for our good choice to receive his love and to respond to him in love as well. The reward of sonship, the reward of being adopted into his family, it's amazing, it's beautiful, it's powerful, it's good. It's a natural and spiritual blessing for accepting his love. God expresses his love as well by punishing our freely chosen bad choices. Romans 2:6-9. He will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek. God's love is expressed through punishing the evil choices that we make. Indeed, if he's a God who longs for us to choose his love, then it's fitting for him to reward those choices when we choose, but also by way of continued warning to punish the choices when we don't choose. When we choose to reject him, that we would recognize that there's going to be a penalty for that. Again, these are natural and spiritual punishments for rejecting his love. God expresses his love by offering grace and mercy when we do make bad choices. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God takes into account our sinful world, our slavery to sin. He recognizes that our natural tendency in this world is to reject his love, to do it our own way, to go about it, to be in control of our own life, to not love, but to hate and to control and to have power. He recognizes that. And so he offers us grace and mercy. He's patient with us, and he pursues us all the days of our life. And God's love is expressed by dying for us, despite our rejection of him. Romans 5:8, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God's love. God's love for us led him to the cross. Again, he knew our condition. He knew our situation. He knew our tendency. He knew the slavery to sin. He could have just left us in that place, but instead he chose, because of his love, to come and to die for us. God suffers for us. God receives our punishment. And by his death, he also shows his love by breaking that slavery to sin and giving us an opportunity to once again choose him. God's love is expressed by forgiving us when we freely choose to repent. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amazing. Amazing that he would offer forgiveness. Amazing that he loves us so much that he would die for us and allow us to make this choice of repentance. And that choice of repentance would be received, and that he would then give us forgiveness. And then he would take the next step of expressing his love by adopting us into his family, when we've chosen to put our trust in Jesus. John 1:12, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Wow. God's love for us inspired him to die for us, inspired him to forgive us, inspired him to adopt us into his family, to welcome us into that intimate relationship. A beautiful and powerful truth. An amazing expression of God's love. God also expresses his love to us by allowing us to freely choose separation from a life with him. We have a hard time maybe seeing this as love, but again, if love is free, if the only true love is a free love that is freely given and freely received, then God has to allow us to make a choice to not receive. Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Because God loves us, he allows us to freely choose separation from him. He doesn't force himself on us. He doesn't demand and force us into relationship with him. He allows us to choose. And again, hard to accept as being loving, but because of God's love, he expresses his love by allowing us to freely choose the condition of our soul. John 3:18, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Those who freely reject his mercy and grace are freely choosing to condemn their souls. Continuing with this harder line of God's love, God's love is expressed by allowing us to receive the consequences of our free choice to reject him. Again, God is not going to force himself on us. If we freely choose to reject that love and that intimate relationship, he's going to allow us to take what comes with that. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who don't know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. God gives them what they have chosen. He justly gives them the consequences of their free will choice. Love is expressed by God also as he purifies his creation by the eternal destruction of Satan and evil. Revelations 20:10. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. A loving God, and this is the argument goes, how can a loving God allow evil things to exist? And it's true that they are contradictory. A loving God who allows evil to exist forever is not a loving God, but a loving God who eventually at least will take care of evil is indeed a loving God, and God will take care of evil. He will destroy it. There will be a day when it's coming, and it's prophesied about in Scripture over and over again to give us that hope to give us that understanding, to give us to know that justice will be done. And all those who have chosen to reject the love of Jesus will receive their reward, as well as those who have chosen to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And that's where we go next. God's love is expressed through fulfilling his promises by resurrecting us who've put our faith in Jesus to new life. Hallelujah. He is faithful. He will fulfill his promises. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 to 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command and the voice of an archangel and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Hallelujah. He fulfills all his promises to all his people. This is the love of God expressed so beautifully, that he doesn't just promise resurrection, but that he fulfills it. He brings it about. We can trust and know that the day of our death is not the day of our end. For those in the kingdom of God, the day of our death is the day of our beginning of eternal life. We can know that without a shadow of a doubt that our bodies will be resurrected like Jesus' body was resurrected from the tomb. He is faithful and will fulfill his promises. And love is expressed by bringing blessing out of every pain-filled moment of our lives. We see this in fullness at the end of our time, at the end of time, right? When we recognize that all of those trials, all of those challenges, all those painful moments that we've walked through in our lives, we will be able to look back with the scope of, with the perspective of time and be able to see how God orchestrated those things actually for our blessing and our good. Romans 8, 28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose, that he is always working the things in our life, trying to bring them about for our good, to bless us, to use even evil times, painful times, to bring about a beautiful return, right? Out of the ashes, he brings beauty. And so we can see that this is an expression, an amazing and awesome expression of God's love. And God expresses his love by restoring all of creation back to its original condition. We can look forward as we look back, as we imagine the Garden of Eden, and maybe some of us have glorified the Garden of Eden as this great place. Oh my gosh, I wish I'd have been there in the perfection of it, the beauty of it and all that. Well, we don't have to look back. We can look forward. There is a garden that's promised in the future as well, with a tree of life and a beautiful river coming from the throne of God, which will continue to give us life and healing for all eternity. He is going to restore all of creation back to its original condition. Revelation 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. How beautiful it's going to be as he brings all of creation back to his design. All of creation is good and is worthy to be restored, and all of his people are good and worthy to be restored as well. And God's love is expressed by this ultimate and amazing fulfillment, that he dwells in intimate relationship with his people forever and ever. Revelation 21, 2 to 4, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Hallelujah. God's hope and desire When he created creation, all of creation, his hope and his desire was to be with his creation, to be with his people, to be in intimate relationship with them for all time. That was his desire, and that will become true. He will bring it about. He will restore it to the way he's designed it and the way that he wants it to be. And God's hope and our hope will be fulfilled in its fullness in that last day when his kingdom comes to earth in its fullness. Amen. All of these ways and so much more are ways that God expresses his love. Sometimes it's hard love to receive when God chooses to discipline us for our bad choices. That can be painful, can be hard to receive. But understanding his love, understanding the fullness of, understanding the wideness of it and the height of it, the broadness of it, right? That allows us to be able to connect with him more fully, to understand why he does these things and understand he loves us. He longs to bless us. He longs for us to enjoy the abundant life that he has created us for. He longs to enjoy that intimate and eternal relationship with us. And he is working on our behalf each and every day in order to bring about his love in our life. God's love is not just a core characteristic. It's the center of all things. God's love is so important that he didn't ever want us to forget about it. Therefore, he gave us the ordinance of communion, that we would do it in remembrance of him and how far he was willing to go to express his love for us. As Jesus says in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Communion and the proclaiming of God's death until he returns is not meant to make us feel bad that he had to die for our sins. It's meant to be a shocking reminder of how much he loves us. As we partake this morning, let us receive the symbolic broken body and poured out blood with amazement at the depth of his love for us. May we reflect on God's loving character. May we remember the ways he's expressed his love to us. And may we choose again today to trust and to put our faith in the one who loves us perfectly. Worship team, come on up as I pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing and awesome love. Lord, we thank you for the character of your love it's for everyone. It's available for all, that you love every single one of us and that you love us unconditionally, that it's not dependent on what we choose to do or not do or whether to receive you or not. You love us. You love us desperately. You love us completely. You love us faithfully as well. Your love for us doesn't go up and down, Lord, that you love us unendingly. It's without ever ending. It never ceases. But Lord, we thank you for how you love us so personally in so many different ways. Lord, just running through all of these different aspects of how you express your love. I mean, these can be seen as, you know, kind of generic because it's the way you love all of us. We all experience these in different ways. But Lord, you love us personally. You love us individually. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, I thank you that you speak love to us in the ways that we can receive it and understand it. You express your love to us corporately. You express your love to us in broad scopes through Scripture. But you express your love so intimately in ways that are just amazing and so good and encouraging. Lord, help us to know your love more. Help us to understand it more, but help us to experience it more. So that, Lord, we would be able to have greater and greater confidence in each day, knowing that because of our faith in Jesus, knowing that because of your amazing love and your choice to adopt us into your family, that we are secure for all time, that we can trust that we will receive the full reward for the good choice of receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Lord, help us to be a people who know your love, receive your love, respond to your love, and share your love. As we partake in communion, where you remind us of the awesome expression of your love in your death for us. May we hear you speak words of love over us again. And may we be reminded of those individual and personal ways that you've expressed it and spoke your love over us. Lord, come and move in this room, in this moment, in this time. Speak love to each of our hearts in ways that we will receive and be able to give you the love in return for your great goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. We invite you to receive the elements in the back of the room. We'll have a couple of us in the back to be able to hand those out. Ray, can you take that back table over there, please, for me? I will go ahead and be at this other side. So come back and receive the elements. After you've received the elements, you can return to your seat and then take those elements whenever you are ready to do so. The Grace and the worship team will be playing some music, and then will invite us into a couple of closing songs of worship in response to the Lord as well. And so, let's continue to worship in communion and in worship. Lord, thank you for your love for us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to allow us to expand not just our knowledge of your love, but would you expand our experience of your love? Lord, that we would, just deepen and lengthen and heighten and broaden our understanding of your amazing love. And as that happens, let us continue to grow in our intimacy with you and the confidence that brings, that we would be able to share that love with others. And as we close this service today, I go back to Paul's concluding verses in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, church, for being here with us this morning and reflecting on God's love with me. I pray that if you would like to continue, there's another song or two that you could stay and just continue to be in here and processing with the Lord. We encourage you to do that. Again, our prayer team is in the back. We'd love to pray for you, whatever that looks like. Please take advantage of that. We need each other. And so if you're processing something and you just need someone to come alongside you in prayer, then please go back and let our prayer team pray. Fellowship Hall is also available for us to encourage one another, to speak life over each other. We got some snacks today. Stick around and have some conversations. Get to know each other. Get to know somebody you've never met before. Let's just continue to bless and encourage one another to share the love of Jesus as we've received it. May we pass it on to others today. God bless, church. Have a great Sunday.